This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. We are spending the hour today talking with healthcare providers on the front lines of the coronavirus pandemic. Later this hour, Governor Charlie Baker is scheduled to give his daily briefing, and we'll bring it to you live. For now, this week may be the beginning of a massive surge in cases here in the Commonwealth. To date, 12,500 cases have been reported, and at least 231 people have died. Governor Baker says things will get worse, predicting a peak sometime in the next 2 weeks. And last week, President Trump told Americans, brace yourself.
I want every American to be prepared for the hard days that lie ahead. We're going to go through a very tough 2 weeks.
So this is a critical week for our healthcare providers, and we want to spend this hour checking in with them. How are healthcare workers weathering this storm? How about their families? Are we prepared? Let's begin with some hospital workers who are treating incoming patients. Joining me now is Dr. Willie Baker. Dr. Baker is an emergency medicine physician and vice chair for emergency department quality and safety at Boston Medical Center. He's also clinical associate professor of emergency medicine at Boston University School of Medicine. Dr. Baker, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show.
Also with us is Dominique Muldoon, a frontline nurse at St. Vincent Hospital in Worcester and co-chair of the local bargaining unit of the Massachusetts Nurses Association at the hospital. Welcome, Dominique.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And you, are you a healthcare or hospital worker? What's happening in your hospital right now? Or do you know a healthcare worker? What are you doing to support them right now? What are you hearing from them? You can call us. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. So, Dr. Baker, Dominique, I want to begin just by asking you, how are you?
I'm good.
What does that mean? Does it mean you're not afraid, Dominique? Does it mean, hey, I am just putting one foot in front of the other? Does it mean I'm charged up and raring to go?
It means I'm putting one foot in front of the other. I'm not sick.
Good.
I'm healthy. I am scared, but that's not going to stop me. I feel very strongly that, you know, it's our job to get people through this crisis.
Thanks for that.
I agree with Dominique. I think that I am kind of good, and I think that most of us reflectively answer that way. I think most of us healthcare workers, especially frontline physicians and nurses, are really, especially emergency medicine physicians and emergency department nurses, really are committed to treating anyone anytime, and this is just one of those extreme yet uncharted territories of what we have always committed to do.
Dominique, you are on a COVID-only floor. Can you tell us about, you know, bring us there with you? What's it like on the floor in Worcester?
So, first of all, before I even go to work, I start getting ready a little bit more than I did before. I pack not only my lunch, I pack an extra set of clothes. I ziplock them in a bag to make sure that they're clean and they go into a gym bag. I pack an extra set of shoes now, all in preparation for when I get to work. And I end the day, I'll have something to change into when I go home. So now I'm like carrying extra bags to work with me. I enter the building where they take our temperature and give us a mask, and then I'm ready to go up to the floor. I get report. I put my N95 mask on. We still have those. We are reusing them, as a lot of healthcare workers in the state are. I know a lot of nurses in other hospitals who are using them, you know, 3 to 5 shifts or even longer.
Without any decontamination of them in between, I'm assuming, Dominique.
Yeah, some of them are not having decontamination. Some, I saw on the news today, they're using a peroxide spray starting this week in Boston. We don't know how effective these masks are going to be each time, but it's what we have, and this is what we're going to wear. I then put on a pair of gloves, a gown, and a face shield and a hat, a bouffant hat, before I see my patients. So I basically, I kind of look like Darth Vader going in to see my patients. But
what an image.
Yes. And so, you know, between, you know, it limits your air. We work in negative pressure. Our whole floor is a negative pressure floor. So it's a little bit warmer and the air is very still. You don't get any kind of a fresh breeze from the air conditioning. And I think we've all adjusted to it, but we move a little bit slower now and a little bit more carefully because of it, it is difficult with everything on to make sure we don't contaminate something or make a mistake while we're so hot and, you know, just trying to do our jobs.
Let's bring Dr. Baker in here on this, Dominique, too. Okay. What is it like? Bring us into the emergency room, Dr. Baker.
Sure. Well, I work at Boston Medical Center, which is the busiest ED in the state. Actually, I think about the eighth busiest in the country.
ED being emergency and department?
Correct.
Okay.
And our overall volume, as is the case in most emergency departments around the country, is down, but our acuity is rather high. And the cognitive load, the tensions, the amount of care involved in taking care of patients with suspected COVID is quite high. As Dominique said, we also have to put on all this protective equipment. The stress of not getting it right, of contaminating oneself, of contaminating another coworker or a staff member, is fairly high. And a lot of our day is spent focused on these things, which we didn't really have to focus on quite as much before.
Let's bring a caller in who I think has a question for the two of you. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. To join the conversation we're having all hour today, checking in on our healthcare workers as the pandemic spreads. We've got Mary Ellen on the line from Leominster. Mary Ellen, did you have a question? Hi, Mary Ellen, are you there? All right, we lost Mary Ellen. She wanted to ask what the two of you think the next 2 weeks are going to look like in your hospitals. Dominique, do you want to go first?
Sure. Right now, we're seeing a gradual increase in the number of patients being admitted. What I think we're going to see is that we're going to become more full with positive and suspected COVID patients. These patients, they can take a turn for the worse very fast on the floors, within hours, have a lot of difficulty breathing and have to go to the ICU. So I think we're going to see more critical patients all over the whole hospital. We're trying to make preparations with getting more ventilators in our hospital. We think we're going to need that. We're trying to do things with high flow oxygen for these patients. But I believe over the next 2 weeks, it's not going to be just a regular hospital. It's going to be like an ICU all over the hospital.
Dr. Baker, I think you were in a meeting earlier today on preparations for BMC. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
So based on what we just heard from Dominique and your meeting, what is the most important need right now?
Well, there are really a number of very important needs. One very important need is adequate PPE, personal protective equipment, for healthcare providers. And those who are watching the news have probably have seen a lot about that. And it's a relevant issue every place. We're very fortunate at Boston Medical Center that for now we have adequate N95 masks and we're not forced to reuse. But we do worry about the future. And we worry about gowns and other aspects of PPE. We also worry about our ability to care for the most critically ill. And that's manifested by the increasing number of patients who require ventilators. There's been a lot in the news about ventilators, and I think with good reason. But what has not been quite as much emphasized in the news is there's a lot more than just the machines, the ventilators. One needs adequate staff for the ventilators, so nurses in particular, who are critical care trained or capable, and as well as doctors who are critical care trained and capable, as well as respiratory therapists. All of these things is really a system for taking care of critically ill patients, not just the ventilators themselves.
So while we have a need for ventilators, even if we, for example, got 1,000 from FEMA as we'd been anticipating rather than the only 100 that we have at this point, there's still the surrounding support structure for that you'd be concerned about.
That's exactly right. And just to give you an example of needs, for several years now, I, along with some of my anesthesia colleagues, have tracked intubations in the hospital. This is the act of putting in a breathing tube, which is associated with putting someone on a ventilator. And we've tracked emergent, that means things that are done emergently, out of the OR, so not elective surgeries that are involved with putting someone on a ventilator, but if somebody is in the hospital and suddenly decompensates and needs to be put on a ventilator, or someone comes into the emergency room and needs to be put on a ventilator. So we've tracked these numbers. And on average, our baseline is on an average day, we put 2.7 patients a day on a ventilator, either us or the anesthesiologist in the emergency department or upstairs. Since our COVID pandemic has hit Boston, that number has jumped to an average of 9.7 per day.
Okay. Yeah, that's a big change. So I'd like to ask you one other quick question, Dr. Baker, and then I'm going to go back to Dominique. Dr. Joseph Betancourt, the Chief Equity and Inclusion Officer I've lost his hospital here, I apologize for that, told WBUR reporter Simone Rios that they are seeing upward of 35% to 40% of COVID patients who are Latino. So 35% to 40% of their admitted COVID patients are Latino at that hospital, compared to normal inpatient levels of 9% Latino population. Do you have any early observations at Boston Medical Center that are consistent with that or different?
I really can't give you an accurate number. I don't have data on that. Boston Medical Center serves a predominantly underserved community. About a third of our patients speak a language other than English as their primary language. And in a range of 70% or more are supported by some form of government health insurance. And those demographics are rather different than some other hospitals in the state. And my general gestalt is that's who I'm seeing as COVID patients. But I can't tell you there any higher percentage of Hispanics represented amongst them.
Okay. Let's take another call that I want to then turn to Dominique on. We've got Susan on the line from Jamaica Plains. Susan, go ahead.
Oh, hi. Yes, my name's Susan. And I have a question about, I've been hearing that the nurses in the ICU, the COVID-positive patients, that the nurses are entering the room only, and everyone else, the doctors, are not. Is that? And I'm hearing there might be staffing issues, like not enough respiratory therapists and nurses.
Great question.
And then one
Susan.
More.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
One more is, and what is the ratio of patient to nurses in the ICU right now?
Great questions, Dominique. What can you help us with there?
So I think that the nurses are going into the patients more. The doctors are going in, but there is a concerted effort to conserve PPE. So the more people going into the room, dietary, PT, MDs, everybody, it uses up the gowns, the masks, the gloves, everything. And we're so short right now that we are trying to limit that. And oftentimes the nurse in the ICU will stay in that room for several hours. And, you know, we'll have runners to help her outside the room to get what she needs, he or she needs. And that is a big part of why that happens. And I'm sorry, I forgot the second half of that question.
It's just what are the staffing ratios, and are you concerned about not being able to maintain the appropriate ratios?
I am concerned about it. Right now at our hospital, it's 1 to 2, but the mandatory ICU law has been negated because of the emergency, and we understand that. But as we get into this crisis with more and more patients coming in, I am afraid that the nurses will be taking more patients.
Let's try to... I'm sorry, Dominique. I want you to go ahead and finish. I just didn't realize you were done. Please go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying I'm just concerned about with the influx of patients that we're not going to have enough ICU nurses. There will be, you know, they will have to take more patients than is really safe to do so.
I'd like to try to take just one more call. We've got Tim on the line from Brighton. Tim, go ahead.
Hello there. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, as a member of the Boston Emergency Medical Services, we're very well treated, but EMS on a whole across the country doesn't receive the equality of, let's say, police or fire. And I know we're all struggling so much, and now's not the time for this kind of conversation, but I hope when this is all done, that we'll be able to look back and hopefully make EMS more on par with police and fire as far as resources so that we can be ready for these types of events when they happen. Thank you so much.
Thanks for making that call, Tim. I appreciate it. And in our last just few seconds, Dr. Baker, do you have anything you want to react to with Tim's call?
Well, I think the EMS providers are on the front line. And a call comes in, there's a paucity, a very little information provided. And they show up and they're in the back of an ambulance in an enclosed area with a patient that may be shedding quite a bit of COVID virus. Not all of these cases come in as obvious respiratory illness. People call up with asthma. And sure, that's respiratory. They're faced with some tough decisions. They have to stop treating as usual. People get called in as just having chest pain, and we're finding that some of them have COVID. So the EMS providers are very much put at risk. I agree with them.
All right. Well, we appreciate you joining us today. That's Dr. Willie Baker, an emergency medicine physician and vice chair for Emergency Department Quality and Safety at Boston Medical Center. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And Dominique Muldoon, a frontline nurse at St. Vincent Hospital in Worcester and co-chair of the local bargaining unit of the Massachusetts Nurses Association at the hospital. Dominique, be safe. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having and thank you for listening.
And just a quick note that Dr. Joseph Bettencourt, who I referred to earlier in the segment, is from Massachusetts General Hospital.